come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show here on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm your host, Bill Frank. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business and politics. Each of my guests will discuss one of these two topics. My next guest is a celebrity biographer who is known for his biography of Ronald Reagan during his Hollywood years, among many others. He's turned his attention to one of America's legendary movie stars and a member of Hollywood's royal family. We'll look inside the business of show business by examining the biography of Michael Douglas. Mark Elliott is the New York Times best-selling author of more than a dozen books on popular culture, among them the highly acclaimed biography Cary Grant, the award-winning Walt Disney, Hollywood's Dark Prince, and American Rebel, The Life of Clint Eastwood, plus the music biographies of Down Thunder Road, The Making of Bruce Springsteen, To the Limit, The Untold Story of the Eagles, and Death of a Rebel about Phil Oakes. He's been featured in many documentaries about film and music and has written on the media and popular culture for numerous publications. Mark divides his time among New York City, Woodstock, New York, and Los Angeles. Joining us from the East Coast, welcome back to the show, Mark. How are you today?
Oh, thanks for having me back. I'm great.
Oh, good. I'm so glad to have you here. And yeah, your new biography is about Michael Douglas. And it's kind of interesting because many stories about famous parents and their children end up very unhappily in Hollywood. I mean, there are numerous examples of this. Paul Newman and his son Scott, Gregory Peck and Charles Boyer's sons committed suicide. Charlie Chaplin had a very tumultuous relationship with his son Sidney and his daughter Geraldine. And of course, Henry Fonda and with his son and daughter Peter and Jane Fonda. Michael Douglas was tormented trying to break free of Kirk Douglas's shadow in Hollywood. He eventually won two Academy Awards, one as an actor and one as a producer. In the end, Mark, did he ever break free of his father's influence?
Well, I don't think anybody ever completely breaks free. I think some things get better, some things get worse. Michael and Kirk were not close when Michael was a child. They grew up in New York City. Kirk became a movie star, left Broadway for the West Coast. Michael's mother remarried, and they moved to Connecticut. And when Michael was going to school, the kids would say, "Well, my father's a lawyer. What does your father do?" And another one would say, "Well, my father's a doctor. What does your father do?" And Michael would say, "Well, my father's Spartacus." And you know, I think that that's a very telling comment, that Michael knew his father not as a real person, but as an image on the screen. And Michael was also very traumatized by that divorce. When Kirk came back to visit one day, to visit the kids, Michael took Kirk's hand and his mother's hand and put them together and started crying and saying, "Now the family's all back together again." So Michael was a sensitive boy. He missed growing up with his real father, and then some strange things happened. You know, in most industries, a successful head of a company wants nothing more than to have his son or daughter join the business. In show business, it's just the opposite. The big stars don't want their children, younger, more energetic, fresher, to be their competition. They have enough competition with the films they've made when they were 20 years younger. So Kirk wasn't that helpful. And one of the ways that Michael dealt with that was that when he went to UCSB, Santa Barbara, he became a hippie. He dropped out. That was his way of dealing with it. And the more he got into sex, drugs, rock and roll, motorcycles, surfboards, the more outraged Kirk got. I mean, it's just that generation, those two generations didn't mix very well when it came to the culture. Michael dropped out, flunked out, actually, and got a job in a gas station and won, I think it was Mobile Man of the Month or something. And he showed it to his dad, "Look, I can do something." And his father said, "Congratulations, you'll be a gas station attendant your whole life." So not very encouraging. And then Michael went back to school, got interested in plays, did a play, and called his father and asked him to come up and see him. Kirk went, saw it, then went backstage after and said, that's about the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. So difficult, roads to mend.
It definitely is. My guest is Mark Elliott, author of the new biography, Michael Douglas, a biography. So the big question, Mark, is have they reconciled at this point? I mean, Kirk is 95 years old, and Michael's got health problems, which we'll get into in just a minute. Have the two come together? Do they have a better relationship today than they did when they were younger?
I think they do. You know, Kirk had that stroke about 10, 15 years ago, and, you know, that changes priorities. That changes everything and puts things into better perspective. Although, they did a show a couple of years ago, and the first thing out of Kirk's mouth was, I should have played that part in Cuckoo's Nest. That shouldn't have gone to Jack Nicholson. You did that. You gave that guy the role over your own father. So, there is a little bitterness still left, more on Kirk's part. But, you know, with age and with success on both ends, those things tend to reduce. And when Michael was, as you say, sick, Kirk was there almost every day to help him get through it. So, you know, there's a reconciliation, to be sure.
Well, that is good, and that's touching. Let's talk a little bit more about Cuckoo's Nest, because there's some unknown parts of that for many of my listeners. First of all, the reason there's so much animosity between Kirk and Michael over Cuckoo's Nest, it was Kirk, in fact, who optioned the story, the Kesey story, for the Broadway play. And tell us about that and how it ended up getting into Michael's hands and how Michael ended up winning his first Academy Award over it.
Well, you know, there's an old saying about Broadway. You play it on your way up, and you play it on your way down. Kirk had already done his best movies, Spartacus and all of that, Vincent Van Gogh, Lust for Life. And he was looking to come back to Broadway and do a play. He optioned the Ken Kesey novel. And the whole idea was to do it as a play and then come back as a movie and win an Oscar. That was the whole point. Unfortunately for Kirk, the play opened up in, I guess, October 1963, and a month later, JFK was assassinated. That killed the play. Nobody was in the mood in America to see a play about a bunch of lunatics in a bin. That was not the mood. We were looking for the Beatles. That's what we were looking for. And so the play closed. And for 10 years, Michael tried to get that made into a movie and could not raise the money. Nobody thought he was right for the part. They thought he was too old for the part. He was too old for it, really, when he played it on Broadway. So after going through every possible channel, he finally let Michael take a shot at it. Michael really wanted to try it. It took Michael almost 4 years to get this thing produced through a series of good luck, smart partnering, perseverance. He finally got this thing to go, and the rest of the story is that it won all four major Academy Awards, Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Picture, Best Director. That hadn't been done in 31 years. The last time it was done was when Frank Capra did it for It Happened One Night in the 30s. So here's a situation where Kirk had to be told that he couldn't be in the movie, and the guy it fell to was Michael Douglas.
Well, the story doesn't end there, does it, Mark? I mean, talk about the actual ceremony itself. Was Kirk even in attendance?
He stayed home and watched it on television.
I think that's a very telling part of their relationship, particularly at that time in their lives. My guest is Mark Elliott. He's the author of the new biography, Michael Douglas, on bookshelves everywhere right now. I'm going to change it up on you, Mark, just a little bit if I can, because sure. Kirk Douglas was an admitted womanizer, and Michael, too, likes the ladies. So many of Michael's relationships ended badly. I think that's fair to say. What changed Michael's priority towards women and towards family?
Well, he was in a very bad first marriage, really just like his father had been. And, you know, it was a kind of a loveless marriage. And that drove him into this womanizing that he did for many, many years, because it was his way out, his relief. It wasn't really until he met Catherine Zeta-Jones that he decided that he better shape up and fly right. After he did, Basic Instinct with Sharon Stone, it was a pretty heavy film, and a lot of it, if you see the DVD version, there was a lot of it shot with Michael and with Sharon. They didn't use many stand-ins. And Michael's wife was kind of outraged by what she saw on the screen. And he was drinking a lot. He was not in good shape. And she said to him that you either go into rehab or the marriage is over. So to save the marriage, although I don't know why he would want to save the marriage, he went into rehab. He came out and a few years later met Catherine and divorced the first wife. The first wife gave him as hard a time during the divorce as she did when he was married. She just couldn't let go. When he met Catherine the first time, Danny DeVito introduced them at a film festival, and Michael thought, well, here's another notch for my belt, and went over and said something to her, and she said to him, now I know that everything I've heard about you is true, and walked away. That was a big wake-up call for Michael. No woman had ever spoken to him that way. So he sent her flowers the next day and tried for a long time to get her to like him. And her priority was marriage. She was already famous in London. She was on the stage in the West End. She was on TV in the series. She had made some movies. She wanted to come to America, but she wanted to do it on her terms. So after some battles they had, he proposed to her, and she accepted. And even though there's a 25-year age gap there, they've made that marriage work.
Well, those Welsh women can be tough. My guest is Mark Elliott. Well, Mark, how would you characterize their relationship today?
Great. They have two children. And, you know, as always happens in these second May-December marriages, Michael dotes on these children, whereas the first set of children, he was as distant to them as Kirk had been to him. So this is kind of a second chance for Michael. And it doesn't hurt that Catherine is lovely, beautiful, and also, crucially, in the same business, which the first wife wasn't. And when you're in show business, if you're not married to someone who understands the special needs that that business demands, it's very difficult to keep a marriage going. That's why in the old days, 30s, 40s, 50s, when young women would come up, they would meet a businessman, and they would retire from making movies because the men wouldn't allow it. Today, it's a different story, but the marriages that survive the most are ones where the couple shares an understanding of that field.
That's a unique observation. My guest is Mark Elliott, author of the new biography, Michael Douglas, A Biography. So, Mark, in doing the research, you know, for a man who has all the personality and the baggage that Michael Douglas brings with him, there aren't that really many that salacious stories in your book. So how do you, as a biographer, balance the subject's right to privacy with presenting a complete picture of your subject?
Well, usually I'm accused of dipping too deep. That's the usual. What I usually, how could you, you know, so and so. This book, I felt that the story has such an uplift to it, and such a fantastic ending with that twist of the cancer, that I thought what was important here was the struggle with the father to come out and to emerge from that shadow and overcome the syndrome of Hollywood, where that is the most difficult thing to do. So I thought that was a better story. And the womanizing and the drugs and the drinking, it's all there. It's all acknowledged, but it's not sensationalized. I wanted to give a presentation where you could read it and understand the man and leave out the National Enquirer aspect. That's always there if you need it. But I thought this was a better story than that.
Well, it was, and it is an interesting dynamic between father and son, Kirk and Michael Douglas. Now, Michael was diagnosed with stage 4 throat cancer. You alluded to that earlier. Kirk Douglas is 95 years old. Do you think Kirk Douglas will actually outlive Michael Douglas?
Well, it's possible. I mean, I think Kirk Douglas can outlive everybody. I just think this guy is made of, you know, super steel. You know, he's from Russian genes, and you know, these Russians are tough. Michael, too. One of the reasons I think he survived as long as he had is because he's essentially a kind of a horse, like Keith Richards. You know, these guys live on no matter what. Michael was misdiagnosed twice. He doesn't actually have throat cancer. He has esophageal cancer. It is a big difference. And so when he kept on complaining about his throat, they were looking in the wrong place. When they finally got it right, they treated him with chemo and with radiation. Now, he's in remission, but the remission period is a 5-year period. And the problem is that cancer is a sore loser. It's insidious, and it's a kind of a bad guy. So it likes to try to come back and win. If you've had radiation for this type of cancer, you can have it a second time. So if it comes back, Michael is in a much more precarious situation. His attitude is, you know, like Warren Zevon's, enjoy every sandwich, because you're living now, and he's back to work, and he's trying to get through it. Kirk... you know, Kirk, as I said, is made of titanium. I mean, this guy, nothing seems to faze him. So that works for Michael. That might make Michael's chances even better genetically.
Well, we will have to see. My guest has been Mark Elliott, author of the new biography, Michael Douglas, A Biography. Mark, you have probably piqued the interest of many of my listeners. If they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go?
Well, I have a website, markelliott.net, and it's got a lot of good stuff on there. I think people will enjoy it. And, the book you can get anywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all those places.
Well, Mark, it has been a delight. Thank you for returning to the show and being our guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.